Gateway Market and Cafe is Des Moines' locally owned grocery and specialty food store, centrally located at ML King Parkway and Woodland Ave. Enjoy chef-crafted prepared foods, artisan baked goods, organic produce, hand-cut meats, local and international cheeses, wines, and craft beer. Gateway's Cafe is open for dine-in, carry-out, and delivery service 7 days a week. Stop by or visit gatewaymarket.com for more details. Gateway Market, good food, great community. Welcome to the Fallon Forum. This is Ed Fallon, your host, and we're broadcasting from the heart of America's heartland, Des Moines, Iowa. We got content today that will be of interest to you wherever you live in this country of ours. Underwriting by Gateway Market, a Des Moines grocery and cafe offering artisan, local, and global foods for and catering for business and social events. More information at gatewaymarket.com. Our program's bumper music today, provided by the Des Moines Irish Session. My guest today, Charles Goldman. Charles, welcome to the program.
How's it going, Ed?
Very well, thank you. And I'm going to kick it off before we even talk with a song you may or may not know.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fight and curse.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada.
Had my picture on his shelf, but now when I see him, he tells me to f*** myself.
Well, blame Canada, blame Canada. It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along. Blame Canada, blame Canada.
They're not even a real country anyway.
Okay,
well,
Charles.
if they remade that song from South Park, now, of course, it would be blame Biden.
Blame Biden, right. I'm guessing that maybe President Trump has this song on kind of a reel, keeps playing it over and over again. You know, blame Canada. So let's hike those tariffs.
Well, you know, the big question about the hiking the tariffs, which, by the way, the Wall Street Journal called a, you know, return to the stupidest trade war ever.
Yeah.
This is the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. And then
the question is it have anything to do with actual policy? Or is it about the fact that the World Cup soccer players loved Mark Carney and that they had to drag Trump off from the stage because he was trying to steal the World Cup trophy?
You would think that the fact that the U.S. team beat the Canadian team in the Olympic final, that would have settled. That would have made Trump happy, go home, stop bothering
Canada.
Well,
he would have if he hadn't noticed that they really gravitated to Carney. You know,
it was a real blow to his narcissism.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see where this goes. But every conventional economic commentator around is branding this as absolutely the stupidest thing ever. I mean, you mentioned the Wall Street Journal. It's hard to imagine how this goes well for the U.S. There's really no way that it does go well for the U.S.
Well, first of all, he has a deal with them. We have a deal as a country with them. Right?
Yeah.
A deal, by the way, that he negotiated, or he put his name on, in his first term, right? And everything is actually kind of put off to January 1st, which is when the Trump version of deal of NAFTA has to be renewed. And if it's not renewed, then we really have a problem. The result of all this is that there's a lot of cross-border movement, particularly in the car-making industry. I mean, a lot of American cars cross the border 3 or 4 times, and they cross with no tariff placed on them.
During production.
During production.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It goes both ways.
So you're saying this doesn't kick in until January 1st, and...
Oh, well, the items they've chosen are not items that are necessarily covered by... whatever it is, UCMCA, whatever, I can't remember what the initials are.
One of the worst things about this is the message it sends to a neighbor that we have gotten along with forever, an unprotected border.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's never been conflict between the U.S. and Canada.
Well, there has. Certainly around the time of the American Revolution.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
it wasn't Canada then. It was Britain and France.
Well, it was, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the point is that what exactly is it that he's punishing them for? He's punishing them for because they treat American dairy products badly, all right? At the same time, we're tariffing their products. Products, by the way, which we don't really have a substitute for. For instance, you know, the lumber that we get from Canada is used in like 40% of houses that are built in the United States because it's of a different quality than we have here.
If Canada keeps burning down with these climate-induced wildfires, there won't be a lot of lumber to export.
Well, actually, the fires in Canada are normal. It's a boreal forest.
They're normal, but not at this level.
Well, it has to burn down. It has to burn down to be able to replace itself. But the point is that Trump behaves as though that everything that is made somewhere else could be made here, right? Mm-hmm. But all these parts manufacturers are up in Canada. So the economic policy is going to be to rebuild everything on this side of the border to make up for, you know. And the fact is, what do you think a car is going to cost? The average cost of a car bought in the United States now is $45,000. What do you think the price is going to be when you put 50% tariffs every time a part or the car goes across the border to be built?
$45,000 plus 50%.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Amy? If this is not going to go well for Trump. And when it doesn't go well for Trump, he'll at least still have the consolation of Natalie Harp. Who I know you've taken a particular interest. Though, I mean, a lot of people have. Fascinating animal. What's going on is it's hard to know exactly what's going on.
Well, okay. So this came up because John Ossoff, who's the candidate for senator
in Georgia,
incumbent senator in Georgia, made a comment that what Trump mostly wants to do is trade stocks, play golf, and of course win all the tournaments that he plays in, and travel on the unprotected Qatari jet with Natalie, right? That's all he said. So of course the right wing immediately jumped to saying, that's disgusting, you're implying that the president is having an untoward affair with, you know, this 35-year-old supposed cancer survivor.
Yeah, right. He would never do such a thing.
And you know, talk about the Streisand effect. All Ossoff did was say he was traveling with Natalie.
Yeah.
Right?
Boom.
But boom, the right wing comes out and says, you mean you're claiming that the president is having an affair with this woman. Right?
He didn't.
Actually, the worst thing is the more the story of Natalie Harp comes out, both her story, the one that she pushed to kind of get into his good graces, as well as how she ended up doing the job she did. She's essentially the de facto chief of staff now. Now, maybe it's because Susie Wiles herself is sick with an actual cancer. Mm. We don't know if Natalie Harp ever had stage 2 bone cancer. The oddity about her claim of stage 2 bone cancer at age 17 is there's not a single scar in her body.
How do you know,
Doctor? Well, you can see her arms and legs, you know, to a good degree.
Well,
she doesn't walk with a limp. 17-year-olds with bone cancer, generally the most common bone cancers are going to be either osteosarcoma or Ewing sarcoma. Osteos are almost always in the extremities. Ewings can be in the pelvis, among other more central locations. The treatment of both of them is chemotherapy plus surgery, right?
So you're saying she faked the cancer?
I'm not saying she faked the cancer. It's just that her story doesn't fit, because her whole story is antedated by this weird video she made about how she was a victim of having sterile water infused intravenously by mistake. And then she talks about, well, it took away all her platelets. Well, first of all, it doesn't take away your platelets. It actually lyses your red cells.
Is that possible for sterile water to be administered accidentally?
There are a small number of case reports of that happening. Because the point is, it comes in two forms. There's a 3-liter bag that they use for irrigation, which is marked all over it for wound use only, because it's a wound irrigant. And there's a liter bag, which is the size of most IV bags, that they use in the pharmacy, because some drugs are dissolved in them and then mixed with other normal, like, you know, IV solutions. So the point is, she writes about it ruined her platelets, and in fact, no, it causes a hemolytic reaction of your red cells. And actually, its biggest side effect is it can cause seizures and you know, herniation in your brain.
So are others in the medical community weighing
in? They're very dubious. They're very dubious about her story. The other part of that story was, and this is how she hooked up with Trump. I mean, hooked up.
I know you weren't implying anything.
Perhaps I shouldn't use hooked up.
I know what you meant.
Right. She gets engaged with Trump through this family and faith.
I'm not sure you should use the word engaged either, but keep going.
And he then ultimately invites her to the 2020 Republican National Convention to talk about how the Democrats and how they treated her. And her claim is that she was treated, it was failing treatment for this bone cancer, and that she got access to a drug only because Trump had
the right to try.
The right
bill.
To try
right.
bill.
Right, right.
Right. The problem with her story is that nobody can substantiate, because, you know, actually there is HIPAA. I mean, of course, it doesn't work both ways, right? If they go to her doctor and say, did you treat this patient? They would have to say no. If they took your information, if Doge took your information from Medicare, that's okay, right? That information, of course, you know, is okay to take. But anyway, so she claimed that she was given a drug that wasn't available, and the right to try law was what Trump did to save her life. The problem is that she actually was on social media saying that she was taking a new drug 2 months before the law was signed by Trump. And Trump obviously probably, as usual, had no idea what he was signing. He just put the stuff in front of him.
That auto pen thing.
Right. He signed it. He just doesn't know what he's writing. He doesn't know what he's actually signing. So she actually gets this drug 2 months before Trump signs the bill.
Illegally.
Right. The other thing is that it wasn't illegal. Okay. It was a drug that was already approved by the FDA and was used off-label.
Right,
which
gotcha.
You don't need to have any bill to have that happen.
Gotcha.
All right. So this is why she thinks that Trump is a deity. And
because
this
he brought her back from the dead?
Because that's exactly right. And this is why, you know, she runs his social media now for the most part.
Yeah.
So she's the source of the most reprehensible of some of the social media stuff that Trump has sent out. Like the one where he had the plane flying over the No Kings rally and dumping stool on them.
Yeah.
And, of course, the ones where Obama's number where he's Jesus. And then, of course, the Obamas are
primates. So you think
primates.
She's responsible for those?
No, yeah, absolutely.
She is.
She brings it to them. She brings it to them. And so, her other role is to do nothing but give him good news. Right, she goes, this is what the human printer part of it is. She brings all the good news stories out there that say Trump is wonderful. But, and this is the part of it which I think is more important, the president of the United States is such an amateur and is so lost in his own narcissism and his empty ego that he needs this woman around him who worships him. He humiliates her. Where do people think these letters are coming from? Right.
Which letters?
Well, the letters that she gave to him are all over the news.
The love letters.
Right.
Essentially.
Right. Did she make carbon copies? No. She left him a letter. That means either he gave them out, or the other people in the administration, which is pretty much everybody who hate her, found them and gave them out. Right. But the real problem is, this woman is protecting him from... This is why he doesn't know anything. This is why he didn't know we were running out of munitions. You know, and this is what... This is how dangerous it is to have a narcissist in this position. He has her there because she is there to pump his ego up. And if he said to her, I think I'm going to nuke Iran, she would say, I think that's a great idea. Because,
so how do you know? Why do you think that everyone else in the Trump administration despises Natalie Harp?
Because she has more access than a lot of the other people do.
Probably day and night.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the speculation that they're having an affair.
I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
I really don't care.
That's my
What's more
too,
dangerous is what it indicates about where Trump's psyche is right now.
Yeah,
that he would take. Give so much importance to adulation from this woman in particular.
So you think Stephen Miller's jealous?
No, I'm sure Miller is probably doesn't have a huge problem with her, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of other people do. Yeah. I mean, where's Susie Wiles on this? I mean, as I say, maybe because she's got her own medical issues.
Well, and Caroline Leavitt is gone.
Well, that may be one reason why. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Caroline Leavitt probably did say something. You know, you can't say anything that disagrees with what Trump wants to do.
I mean, so many people have either bailed out or been, you know, ejected from the Trump ship. Mm-hmm. You wonder where this is going. You wonder why anybody takes a job with him at all, except, you know, in the case of Harp, she is clearly a devotee. I mean, she regards him as some kind of a deity.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's something you really don't want to have a malignant narcissist. And again, malignant narcissist is not a psychiatric diagnosis. It's a literary one. But he has narcissistic personality disorder. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, American Psychiatric Association. Anybody with a brain can figure out that he has an extreme form of narcissism.
Okay. Charles Goldman with me here today, folks. Hey, we're going to talk about Anthony Fauci when we come back, but also a new twist in immigration policy. And he has a new twist, of course, not a favorable one. Back in a minute, and a reminder that underwriting for this program is provided by Dr. David Drake, a psychiatrist serving patients in Iowa and Colorado. More information at 515-229-5085.
Thanks to Central Iowa Realtor Joe Henry. Residential, commercial, land, Joe Henry's been covering all that for 23 years. He's also a leading community activist and a strong advocate for locally owned businesses. Call Joe Henry at 515-208-7312. That's 515-208-7312. You're responsible for a lot, and it's easy to become overwhelmed, to feel helpless, even hopeless. What's not so easy is finding your way back to feeling and functioning better. Psychiatrist Dr. David Drake helps individuals and couples throughout Iowa with the convenience and privacy of televideo counseling. Dr. Drake also prescribes medication when needed, and his services are offered on a self-pay, negotiated fee basis. If you need help, don't delay. Contact Dr. Drake at daviddrakefamilypsychiatry.com.
Welcome back to the Fallon Forum. Hey, this is Ed Fallon, your host today, Charles Goldman, my guest, and we're coming to you from Des Moines, Iowa. Underwriting for the Fallon Forum provided by real estate agent Joe Henry. More information at 515-208-7312. And before we discuss the Anthony Fauci Inquisition, Charles, just out today, we're taping this program on August 24th. The Trump administration is now preparing to revoke the business visas and the tourism visas for up to about 200,000 people who are here legally, you know, currently seeking asylum status. And, you know, if this happens, it would be the single largest mass revocation of visas, and who knows, the single largest mass deportation to go along with it. It's just, there's no doubt it's going to be challenged in the courts, but it's a historically unprecedented. And if the State Department has its way, if Stephen Miller has his way, they will be announcing that these B-1 and B-2 visas issued over the last decade to people who came here seeking asylum, again, came here for legitimate safety, protection, life-threatening reasons, they could be toast. They could be gone. This could help Stephen Miller reach his quota of, 2,000 or 3,000
3,000 a day.
Yeah.
So basically he's aiming for 90,000 a month. For no discernible reason other than, I guess, the highest month during the Obama administration was 67,000. So they want
67,000?
Yeah.
That much. Wow.
Yeah, so they want to beat that record.
Yep.
You know. And he just wants some margin. It's not like when
So it's a sport.
Right. Well, it's not like when, you know, Trump talked to Roethlisberger down in Georgia and came out with, I just need 11,561 votes. Just one more than I need to win the election.
Just a margin of safety, yeah. So I will say, I mean, I have no doubt that the legal challenges, well, I'm no doubt, I'm reasonably confident the legal challenges are going to hold this up for a bit, but I don't know. I don't know how far he's going to be able to go with this. It's pretty extreme.
And this is not,
it's unprecedented.
This is not necessarily, first of all, this isn't the worst of the worst. Right,
no.
You know, their favorite term of the worst of the worst being like that dad, you know, with the construction business of the soldier who was on, the sailor who was on the
recently,
Lincoln.
Right,
yeah. So this is how they reward the family, you know, by sending dad home. Yeah.
While the kid is stuck on the USS Abe
exactly.
Lincoln, right?
But, yeah, these are visas that are given out because of generally intellectual capabilities and, you know, professional capabilities. You know, sort of like Melania. That's how she got to be a citizen.
Which one was she?
I think she's a B-1 genius. They call it the genius visa.
She is
a linguist.
Wow.
A multilinguist. Supposedly she can speak 8 languages. We're unclear which of the 8, but they don't include English.
Wait a minute.
As her recent press conference at the... Oh, I'm sorry. It was the... she was the lead speaker at the school event.
That was unkind.
I mean, she's still... I understand that she has a Slavic accent, but she's
a compelling accent. Well, you can't understand what she says?
I can understand what she says because I lived in New York.
Well,
but
people from here can barely understand you.
Anyway, the point is that these people are doing things. They're in the process, right? This isn't like you can say, well, you need to do it the right way.
Right.
They went from visa status.
Yeah.
And then
we're changing the rules.
Well, what they're claiming is that the asylum was always a backup and they couldn't get a green card some other way. So they claim they want an asylum. So these people need to go.
It's like changing the rule in the middle of baseball. That no, it's not 3 strikes and you're out. It's 2.
Well, it's like when they pick up these people, they pick up people who are coming to their mandated visits with the immigration courts who are in the process of trying to get citizenship and they take them away from the hearing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's evil.
It is evil
what's happening.
Yeah.
So,
and do you wonder why the GDP in the last quarter only grew 1.4%? You know, when you start taking millions of people out who are consumers in this country.
Not just consumers, but workers.
And workers,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So switching gears, Anthony Fauci. The he came before the U.S. Senate and refused to answer any question.
Right.
I think, did he plead the Fifth, 100 times or more than 100
times? He basically made an opening statement saying, I know why you, for the most part, said, I know why you called me back. You're not interested. The supposed reason for the hearing was to examine the origins of COVID.
Right.
Right. Well, you know, it was going to be about whether it was a leak from the Chinese lab, you know.
That's a legitimate question.
All right, that's fine. It is a legitimate question.
Yeah.
That's a legitimate question. And then they were going to discuss gain-of-function research because Rand Paul, as a ophthalmologist, is extremely literate in that, you know, literature.
Sarcasm?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we had Ron Johnson doing his McCarthy thing, holding up a folder, shaking it at Fauci, saying, I have all these studies in here showing how many people have been killed by the COVID vaccine. You know, Ron Johnson, who is the second least intelligent senator in the United States, number one being obviously Tommy Tuberville, who's running for governor in Alabama, the man who didn't know there were 3 branches of the American government.
Wait, there are 3? I thought there was 1.
Well, there's only 1.
Right now, yeah,
the executive branch. That's what the Supreme Court says. The executive branch is the only branch. But anyway, it was so Fauci said it, and Fauci had like 5 lawyers behind him, his own lawyers. He said the only reason you brought me back here is you were going to try to catch me on saying something that in some interpretation contradicts something I've said at multiple hearings before and then charge me under whatever that public code, you know, that they were talking about would be to put me in jail. They weren't interested at all.
So, and do you think that's true?
Yeah. Because
they showed
no interest at all. He had answered a lot of these questions before.
So what could he have said that could have been used to put him in prison?
Anything that would contradict.
So it'd be hard not to say something.
Of course, because you don't remember exactly what was said.
Right.
Okay, but what the worst part of this is, forget about the McCarthyistic nature of this and the absolute embarrassment for a doctor, Rand Paul, and you know, Senator Johnson, I mean, he is just an embarrassment any time he talks, as I've seen him. They wanted to rehash a article that was actually withdrawn in 2021 concerning the risk of miscarriages related to the COVID vaccine. This has been out there. I mean, it's like we don't even bother with doing science anymore when it comes to these kinds of things. We just, whatever conspiracy theory is out there from the highly literate group of people who are spreading information on X and TikTok, right? And, you know, as a physician, I'm just sick of it, all right? I'm sick of people talking about post facto by many years what we should have known at the beginning of COVID. None of these people were in the hospitals at that time. They didn't see what it was like to die of COVID. They didn't see what it was like to watch physicians and other people who worked in the hospitals die of COVID, all right? A disease that we had never seen before, a disease that we weren't sure initially how it was spread, mm-hmm. right? You know, and they harp on things like, well, Fauci said that the public shouldn't wear a mask, right? Why did he say it? For two reasons. Number one, the public, as was clearly shown, didn't know how to wear a mask, right? They were taking up N95s and wearing them on their mouth because, you know, I know it's hard to understand this, but you breathe through your nose also, right?
Well, so probably some of your favorite members of Congress are mouth breathers. But anyway.
All right. Okay, so that, you know, that's the one thing they always, you know. And basically, he probably should have said, because we have limited amount of PPE, we need to have the health workers get it. Why? Because the health workers are multipliers, right? The more health workers you have, the more people you might be able to save who get sick from COVID, as opposed to trying to have the whole population wearing masks when they weren't available. Why weren't they available? Well, we were busy giving them to the Russians.
Yeah. So you think Fauci did a fine job?
I think he did what he had to do. And it, of course it looks worse. From a group of people who always say, hey, if you take the fifth, that, you know, then what are you worried about? Because then you must be hiding something. Donald Trump, in every deposition he's been in, right?
Took the fifth.
Every civil deposition takes the fifth. But I don't want to hear from these people who don't know anything. I don't want to hear from these people who didn't experience. Hey, how about the fact that there were, you know, refrigerator trucks outside hospitals in New York City early on? Because people were dying so fast, the morgue was overloaded. They were taking people out to, is it Roosevelt Island, where they have the mass graves? I mean,
you're from New York, you ought to know.
Yeah, no, I think it was Roosevelt Island. And so all this stuff looking back about what we should have known, we didn't. So they bring up this article that was eventually retracted like months after it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, talking about that 80% of women who took the COVID vaccination during the first trimester suffered miscarriages, right?
And that turned out to be false.
It was total, yeah.
Where did it come from?
It came from this article in which they basically, it was a relatively small number of women who were surveyed. Because mm-hmm. early on, pregnant women were not given the COVID vaccinations.
Right.
Because during the testing of the COVID vaccinations, there hadn't been a lot of pregnant women that they were giving it to. And you know why? Because unlike what X and TikTok thinks, there's only, and RFK Jr. thinks, you don't take a group where you don't know what's called teratogenicity of a medication is determined, right? And teratogenicity is meaning changing the DNA. And you don't do that when it's most likely to harm a fetus.
So let me ask you the political question. What advantage do the Republicans gain by bringing Fauci before the U.S. Senate and by, in their hopes, putting him behind bars?
Well, Rand Paul personally hates Fauci because Fauci has upbraided Paul multiple times. He doesn't know what he's talking about on function of gain of function research, you know. And this is personal with Rand Paul. This has nothing to do that he cares about policy.
Well, Rand Paul is among the U.S. Republican senators that tend to have an independent bone.
But this is not about independence. This is falling in line with the conspirators, you know. No, it's personal for him. The rest of it, what's it about? Who was president? during a good part of the COVID, you know, endeavor.
Well, Sleepy Joe Biden.
No, Sleepy Joe Biden became president in 2021.
Oh, I mean early on, Trump, sure.
Yeah. Early on being the first year.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Gotcha, yeah.
Right. Mr., you know, what was the vaccine? Operation whatever? You know, how they got the vaccine out so fast? Yeah. They got the vaccine out fast, but they didn't stop any way of distributing it. But that's a typical Trump plan, which is you only do the first step. You don't think past the first step. And then, of course, he had downplayed it, right? They want to make Fauci the villain and have everybody ignore. Why do you think Trump lost the election in 2020? By the way, Jim Solomon, just the other day,
you think Trump lost because of COVID?
You don't think so?
No. I think he lost because Joe Biden wasn't able to go out and campaign because there was enough concern about how he had managed things that you know, voters opted for an alternative.
Trump went out and campaigned at rallies.
Biden didn't.
Well, what's the point? The point was he lost because he mishandled COVID because he told everybody it wasn't that big a deal. It was going to go away in 2 weeks, like everything is 2 weeks with him.
I'm not sure.
The great remembrance of the Trump economy in Trump 1 is a myth. Manufacturing jobs were bottoming out a year before the first COVID case hit the United States.
I think that has a lot more to do with Trump losing in 2020 than COVID.
You can think what you want.
But, oh, thank you.
You know, you can think what you want, but he was the president for the bulk of the for all of the pre-vaccine time. It was Operation Warp Speed. Yeah, he was president during that time. Also,
he was president for the first
the first cases in the United States were in February of 2020.
Okay.
He was president for a year,
so
essentially
February
a year.
Through,
and the vaccine comes out at the end of 2020. As soon as the vaccine comes out, the number of cases begins to diminish relatively quickly. But they don't want it to fall on Trump. So it's Fauci who's the problem. They vilify the vaccine. They come up with all these conspiracy theories. They want to talk about gain of function, which most people don't understand. And it's about shunting the real responsibility away from Trump. It's what they always do.
I'm going to go with the other theory that this is a vengeance. This is Rand Paul's vengeance.
Well, it is.
Tour.
I mean, for him, it is.
Yeah.
But for the rest of them, it is just Trump is infallible.
Sure.
He didn't do anything wrong. Nobody could have done better during that time.
Yeah.
But it's also part of authoritarianism, which is what this country is experiencing, has to denigrate anybody who knows anything.
Right.
So you put amateurs in the government, and then you turn around and say, see, government doesn't work, so government's the problem. Thank you, Ronald Reagan. Yeah. Right?
Or Newt Gingrich.
You know, it is a feature of MAGA/MAHA that the denigration of expertise. And what this does is, who's ever going to want to work for the government
this term, Trump has purged so many longtime employees that really know what they're doing.
Right, but who's going to come back?
I know, it's like allies across the world. Who's going to really come back and want to be a U.S. ally, given the fact, even if you have a more reasonable person elected in 2028, what confidence does the rest of the world have that won't change again in 2032? You know,
right.
We don't.
No, I mean, it's a real problem. It's just like you were talking before about the tariffs.
Yeah.
Who's ever going to make a deal with the United States again?
But I do go back.
North Koreans.
I'm going to stick with my. Trump operated for 9 months under COVID. I'll give you February, but that's through October. That's nine months, and then so I don't. And there was a lot of unknowns going on. It was confusing. Things were changing all the time. It was a new challenge, and it was a really serious challenge. But I don't see that as being the main reason he lost. Okay, I'm wrong, right?
I think that you know his approval numbers were pretty much where they are now toward the end of his term. So economics clearly was beginning to undermine his favorability.
I'm going to say a big reason that Trump won in 2024 was because Democrats had not figured out the importance of what's going on in Israel. They had no good answer to economic calamity and affordability and those issues. And they nominated a candidate. Well, it wasn't really a nomination. They coronated a candidate, Kamala Harris, without any kind of due process.
I would think number two, it was the main reason. Was the
economy?
Yeah.
Well, I would say in states like Michigan.
In Michigan, yes, perhaps.
Yeah.
Of the country, it was about the simpleton solutions that Trump gave, which were none. He simply said, I'm going to make prices go down on day one. And then you believe me, I'm sorry, why bother to go to college? If you listen to somebody who says, I'm going to make prices, I'm the president, prices are going down on day one. That means you don't think. That's an impossibility. Nobody and the lamestream press never said to Trump, what's your plan?
It took me 10 years to get my undergraduate degree, Charles. Is that you hold that against me?
I mean, I have a graduate degree. But the point is that you can't, you know, people fall for these simpleton solutions. I can make prices go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know how he's doing it now? With socialism. he's setting socialism. The price of beef. Ground beef for the next three months, by the way.
It's starting to look more like communism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Government control of the economy.
Beef, which we have no idea where it's coming from. There's going to be no sourcing on the packaging. I think it's coming from Australia. I think it's kangaroo.
You think it's kangaroo?
He won't say where it's coming from.
I'm intrigued now. I've always wanted to try kangaroo.
You know.
I hear it's a little bit like chicken.
No, I mean, it's probably just like any other red meat.
We better go to a break now because
that's fine.
We've just crossed a line. Anyway, folks, Ed Fallon with you here, Charles Goldman, back in a minute with a reminder that underwriting for the Fallon Forum provided by Western Optometry. More information at 515-789-3055. Thanks to our nonprofit partners, including Circle of Peacemakers, formerly the Catholic Peace Ministry. Circle of Peacemakers works with people of all faiths toward a world without war. CPM opposes runaway military spending while domestic needs go unmet. Instead of endless wars, CPM supports diplomacy. Visit circleofpeacemakers.com. At Westrom Optometry, Dr. Joel Westrom and his team provide a variety of services, including comprehensive eye exams, children's eye exams, and LASIK co-management. Whether strictly utilitarian or a fashion statement, your comfort and vision are Westrom's primary concern. Dr. Westrom and his staff will work closely with you to determine the best solution for your eyes, prescription, and lifestyle. Services are provided in English and Spanish, and the clinic is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. and on Saturdays by appointment. That's Westrom Optometry, located in Des Moines East Village. Welcome back to the Fallon Forum. Ed Fallon with you here. Charles Goldman, my guest, broadcasting from Des Moines, Iowa. Underwriting provided by Architecture by Synthesis. More at architecturebysynthesis.com. All right, so you know, I'm trying to include more good news in the program. It's hard, right, Charles? Hard?
It's very hard.
Very hard, okay. But there's some good things happening. And I want to talk about land that is being recovered from intense human damage. I want to start by looking at Sweden. And so there's a park in Sweden. It's called Söderåsen. Söderåsen? How do you say it? How's my Swedish? Söderåsen National Park. And it's 4,000 acres. And it was kind of reconstituted back in 2001. There had been all kinds of land use problems associated with it for over 600 years, back in the 18th century, 19th century. It was largely deforested. There was burning of the shrubbery and whatnot to increase grazing grounds. And now It's this beautiful hardwood forest, beech trees, and not just I'm not even sure what else he got there, but it's just this beautiful spot. It's become, actually, it could be, now the challenge is so many people want to visit it, camp at it, hike through it, you know, take photos there, just absorb the magic of it, that, you know, it's hard to manage that. And I'm reminded of, closer to home, the Boundary Waters. Mm-hmm. If folks around the country listening to this program aren't familiar with the Boundary Waters, this is a region of the northern United States, Minnesota and Ontario. Again, the lake soon to be called Lake America, right? So anyway, there are, I can't remember how many lakes in the Boundary Waters. It's literally thousands of lakes.
Yeah.
And they're some of them flow one into the other. Some of them involve a portage, but it is mm-hmm. the most wild.
I've done that. I've actually portaged a canoe through the Boundary Waters. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. It's a huge area, hundreds and hundreds of miles. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can travel a long ways from one end to the other. It's dark at night. You see stars. You don't hear. I mean, if you hear an airplane, it's way the heck up there at 30,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fantastic. And
that plane, if they know you're a Democrat, drops stool on you.
Well, that's only one of Trump's dreams / memes. Anyway, no, it's
You're from Minnesota, so that they assume
you. And if you're on the Canadian side, it's even worse, right?
<That's> right.
But no, it is an absolutely sensational place, and
it is
also
beautiful.
I should
it
add,
is.
Unlike the forest in Sweden I'm talking about, which has gone from devastated landscape to incredibly beautiful preserve in what 25 years. The Boundary Waters is another place that Trump is targeting for some types of development, allowing mm-hmm. more boats in there, possibly allowing some kind of mining. And he's doing this to our natural areas.
Is he handing that off
country.
To Jared Kushner?
Jared Kushner, maybe, yeah.
Since he and Ivanka, a big development, feeds.
Well, they're really focused on their island off the coast.
I'm not sure that's happening.
Yeah,
so maybe
yeah.
he's going to give them the Boundary Waters.
Yeah, give them the Boundary Waters instead. But, you know, we should be paying attention to what other countries are doing to preserve land, to recover land. You know, I mean, some of these places in the U.S. are pristine. They've never been developed.
Right.
And I would hate to see them fall victim to developers' dreams mm-hmm. at the expense of the natural beauty that it really what draws
well,
people there.
I would, you know, kind of going back to what we talked about with the Canadian tariffs, there's a price to pay if you're going to replicate the system, the external system from which we've benefited, where essentially we've had the Canadians and the Chinese become manufacturing areas for the United States, which are remote to the United States. You bring all that back, you're going to have to do a lot of things and develop a lot of land.
Well, we just,
and also figure out where you're going to get the water and all this
for. You don't need, yeah, that for sure, but you don't need to develop new land. There's already so much decayed land around that used to have,
you could move everything into, the depopulated portion of Detroit, although Detroit actually made quite a renaissance.
Yeah, I know, Detroit
but they wouldn't,
a pretty
But they wouldn't
job,
do it
yeah.
because, Detroit is a majority-minority city, so of course, it would have to be somewhere down south.
So let's move from Sweden down to Africa. Mm-hmm. Burkina Faso. Do you know where Burkina Faso is?
I have to say I don't.
Oh, it's on the west coast of Africa.
Okay.
God. Anyway, there's a gentleman, a farmer actually, named Yakuba Sawadogo. And
is he Swedish too?
No, it's a good guess though. But there's a movie called The Man Who Stopped the Desert. Not The Man Who Stopped Dessert. The Man Who Stopped the Desert. And he has spent a long time, decades in fact, addressing the problem of desertification in the African Sahel. And again, he got his village working together, planting trees, and now that those trees are a forest. And there was a long dry spell years ago that, along with overgrazing, bad farming practices, too many people in one spot there, that had been really causing problems in the northern part of Burkina Faso. And this effort, and they didn't do it with big backhoes and machinery, they did it with with, you know, basic old-fashioned tools. And they just started using old farming practices that have been in Burkina Faso, there we go, for a long time. And gradually that desert, that desertified land, that barren land, was they transformed it into a fairly substantial forest that involves 96 different tree species, 66 different plant species, some of which are edible, some of which are medicinal, and also, you know, habitat for animals, birds, whatnot. And so, you know, they took an area that was unusable and unfriendly, not just to human life, but to plant and animal life, and they've made it functional. They've made it a great place again. Mm-hmm. And they did it in a lot of ways just by going back to the simple old-fashioned techniques that worked for centuries. So, yeah. And maybe you've heard
this. I'm sorry, just for a second. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I can't get my mind off this. You're reading. Because you're reading about they have a number of animals in
yes.
this African country.
Yes.
I'm thinking
no
about...
No kangaroos, sorry. You want to eat kangaroos, don't
That's
you?
That's what I'm thinking about. They brought the kangaroos there.
Well, yeah.
Noah's Ark dropped them off.
Noah's Ark didn't have to drop the kangaroos off. They jumped off board as soon as they had a chance.
Sorry. I know you're trying to make it... At least it's good news. That's why it's fun to laugh at.
Yeah. Well, we laugh at bad news too.
We do.
So here we are. Yeah,
we do have a.
So okay,
some
moving
black
further south
here.
In the African continent. Do you know where Zimbabwe is, Doctor?
Yes.
Okay. Good. All right. So in Zimbabwe, and you may have heard of Alan Savory.
The name seems familiar, but I don't know why.
He's maybe more famous because he's from Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. and he has for decades now practiced a technique to address desertification by using herds of livestock, the way herds of animals would have been used historically.
Yeah,
they move around and right. they have plenty of room to move.
And different the livestock eat different parts of plants so that you can actually
sure.
dual
they,
graze.
Well, yeah, on, and also on, they don't. Yeah. You know, if you have cattle grazing on ground where there's too many cattle, not enough grass, they're gonna tear up. Mm-hmm. They're gonna tear down too deep into that grass.
Right.
And it won't regenerate. But if you move them around, mm-hmm. you know, if you move them from paddock to paddock, you won't have that problem.
And also, they're laying their own fertilizer down for the.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, so this is just common sense, natural based management that has allowed Savory, you know, to improve into basically take land that had become desertified, and move it back into, you know, a functional ecosystem. So mm-hmm. anyway, speaking of functional, let's go the opposite direction. Phoenix.
You mean that they got the bad part? Well, they got the result of a deal they made a long time ago, which is they're going to be the first major city in the Southwest to
right,
figure
exactly.
out a way to use a lot less water.
And this is just out too. I mean, yeah. the Central Arizona Project, billions of bucks in federal money made this possible. What? How many decades ago was it? It was a while ago. I think 40 years ago maybe.
Yeah.
And and now because of the deepening drought and the decreasing water levels of Lake Mead and Lake Powell, and you got what, 8 states that fight over water from the Colorado River. And interestingly, perhaps not surprisingly, the Trump administration, they're taking charge because state government is just an afterthought anymore, right? They're taking charge of how to divide up the water. And interestingly, in the Trump proposal, 3 downriver states, Arizona, California, and Nevada, oh, wait, those are all, quote, blue states.
Mm-hmm.
What a coincidence. They would probably shoulder most of the challenges.
Do you really think Arizona is a blue state? I mean, yes,
yeah.
it has a lot of their
And I think Stephen
officials.
Miller knows that.
Well, but, you know, the legislature there is not a Democratic legislature. There's a lot of people
it's shifting
from outside Maricopa County who do.
Yeah, but it's shifting more and more to the Democratic column.
It seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just, but even beyond politics, Phoenix was always a bad idea. at that size and scale.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this deal that gave them all this water 40 years ago, whatever it was, you know, that's helped their agriculture. It's helped their industry. And it's temporary, you know. It And even people who were even involved with negotiating it back then knew that it was going to be a temporary thing. Because they knew the organic nutrient was someday going to hit the fan. And it's hitting the fan.
Yeah.
So one other place, Charles, where things are happening just right, Birds and Bees Urban Farm here in Des Moines.
What's happening on Birds and Bees?
Well, my wife, Kathy, came up with this idea years ago. And because we've been gardening for our subsistence, you know. Mm-hmm. We're basically the little row house on the prairie. Laura Engler's Wilder, yeah. In the city.
With the apartment building next door.
So that increases our challenges, too.
That's right, because the sun doesn't get down here.
Laura Engler's Wilder had it a lot easier than us.
That's true.
But anyway, we've taken a piece of property. It's a small holding, but we've made it just a great place for us to grow food to eat. But, of course, if it's tasty, we're not the only ones that are going to want to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
We had a rabbit here. The rabbit has disappeared, by the way. I'm pretty sure the owl I hear at night has probably made a meal out of that rabbit.
Uh-huh.
That's okay. But we have squirrels galore. We have sparrow. I think sparrows dug up more than half of the wheat seed we planted in one of our beds as a cover crop.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we all...
So now it's an undercover crop.
Well, it's a partial cover crop. It's not undercover crop. No, we have a flea beetle problem sometimes. Sometimes we have spider mites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fortunately, we haven't had Japanese beetle problems. But when you have a, basically, we've created a little bit of an oasis, and it's probably easier to do that in Iowa. But you know, anyway,
Have a hard time doing it in Phoenix.
Yeah, you will. A heck of a time. Yeah. Hey, folks. Charles Goldman's been with me here, folks. Back in a minute, underwriting provided by Dr. Kim Holding with Story County Veterinary Clinic, serving Story County pets for over 30 years. More information at Story County Veterinary Clinic's Facebook page. Architecture by Synthesis provides planning, design, and design build services for high performance, low maintenance, affordable homes and buildings. Owner Mark Clipsham asks that you use the most energy efficient methods you can afford and the greenest, longest lasting materials available. Examples of Mark's work can be found at architecturebysynthesis.com. That's architecturebysynthesis.com.
At Story County Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Kim Holding has over 30 years of experience working with all creatures, great and small. Cat, dog, horse, cow, elephant. Well, if you've got a pet elephant, you may be in trouble. Kim's clients stick with her year after year because they know she'll do right by them and their pets and farm animals. So give Kim a shout to keep your animals happy and healthy. Call 515-232-8766. That's 232-8766.
All right, good to have you back with me, folks, on the Fallon Forum. This is Ed Fallon, your host, underwriting for this program provided by Gateway Market, a Des Moines grocery and cafe offering artisan, local, and global foods and catering for business and social events. More information at gatewaymarket.com. Well, Kathy, how the heck are you?
I'm happy to be here in the month of September.
Right, and we are talking about, we're kind of answering our questions, garden Q&A time.
Yes, I scour through some online forums about what you grow and what you do and how to do it.
And sometimes we get those questions directly, too. But
yes.
What's the first one you got there?
I'm actually going to throw this one to you. I'm making spaghetti sauce and wanted to add mushrooms, peppers, and onions. Will it be okay for shelf life?
You know, we sometimes just can whole tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we boil it down to sauce. And I have in the past made spaghetti sauce, basically make marinara, spaghetti mm-hmm. sauce with the onions, peppers, garlic, herbs, mm-hmm. bay leaf, whatnot in it. But, I'm told mm-hmm. by those who, you know, specialize in being really, really safe with canning that that's not a good idea. I've never had trouble with it. I haven't done a lot of it. But I would say take a shot at it.
Well,
if you want to do it. Because the nice thing about it is yeah. you have a jar that you open and boom, it's ready to go.
That is really nice. What the canning people say, and extension services whoever you consult with, is that if you do add a vegetable type product instead of just a sauce, which is pretty much all acid, a tomato, and it's actually a fruit, you do need to use the canning method. You need a pressure canner. You cannot do the open kettle method. And I do open kettle for straight up tomato sauce sometimes. And I've never lost a jar, really.
And I almost always do the pressure canner because I like the fact that it goes quicker. I like the fact that it really seals it up tight.
Yeah. And well, I like to roll the dice.
Yeah, I like to roll. Well, it sounds like you might be rolling the dice if you add vegetables to your sauce, too. But what you're saying, though, is if you do add onions, peppers, garlic, whatever, if you make marinara that's ready to use as soon as you pop the lid.
Yes, you can.
You can do that. Just do it in your pressure canner.
In your pressure canner and follow the directions. Your extension site will have some good information.
Somebody asked, where do you get edamame seeds?
Well,
you get them from edamame plants, right?
You do, and that's to me, that feels like the reasonable answer. But if you've never grown edamame before, then you can get them at most of your online seed sources. And we can't advocate for this officially, but we do get our seeds at Seed Savers out of Decorah, Iowa. It's a nonprofit. But most of the major seed companies will have that. You're not as likely to go to your garden store, or sometimes they sell seeds at your grocery stores, not this time of year in the Midwest, because people say, oh, I'm not planting now, they don't carry the seeds. But people do plant now, and they should carry seeds year-round. But they're less likely to stock an edamame seed, which is a soybean.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a kind of a soybean.
Yeah.
So they're not as common, but they should be.
So next question.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of seasonal, we just planted our summer squash.
We did
about
very recently.
3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yes, it's doing wonderfully.
I think 3 weeks ago. And it's looking really, really good.
We did that to avoid the vine borer.
Vine borers, and also because we didn't have any space. Now we do.
That's true.
But one person posted a photo of a large yellow summer squash that looks really large. And they ask, why are all my squash just seeds?
Well, and I'm presuming this person who posted that didn't say that when they picked the squash, the rind was feeling very firm. It didn't have any give to it. They just waited too long. They were trying to get a big summer squash, and that's not how summer squash works.
Yeah, well, they did, and it's too big.
As soon as that blossom is dried up, you know, go ahead and pick it, because you don't want a giant seedy squash of any kind.
Another question, what can I still plant now that it's September?
We did some greens. We had some that didn't start, but you just replanted some. You can still
That doesn't normally happen. Normally, if we plant salad greens in late August, mid-August, they do pretty well.
Yeah. So pretty much anything, because the seasons are lengthening, climate change, you know, thanks to that, I guess. But
small comfort.
Treat it kind of like it's spring, but keep a closer eye on it in case we get an early frost.
Yeah. And we're planting, we're doing a lot of cover cropping this fall.
We are planting
stuff we're not going to eat, but that we hope helps regenerate the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried a mixture of turnip and wheat.
Red wheat?
Winter wheat.
Winter wheat.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But the problem with the wheat is once the sparrows discovered that I'd sown some wheat out there, they went crazy on them. So we have beds of turnips with some wheat sprouting, the wheat that the sparrows missed.
Wow.
Okay, pulled my carrots today and probably have 100 or more,
mm-hmm.
other than cleaning and resting them? What does that mean?
That's a typo. Roasting.
Oh, roasting them. Cleaning and roasting them. What is the best way to use and store carrots?
Blanching and freezing. Look it up on your extension site. But earlier this year, we had a great carrot crop, and I made some carrot ginger soup and froze batches of that. We're really excited.
And I have canned carrots, and it's not too bad.
I like to use uncanned carrots. Better.
Right. I've also stored carrots in our pit outside.
Yes.
In the ground all winter long. So that's one way to go. Hey, Kathy, thanks for joining us today.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, folks, to my guest today, Charles Goldman, and to our production team, which includes Sherry Herdina, Forrest Edelman, Charles, and Kathy, and myself. Thanks also to the Des Moines Irish Session for our bumper music. Underwriting provided by Gateway Marketing Cafe, Story County Veterinary Clinic, Western Optometry, David Drake Family Psychiatry, Architecture by Synthesis, and Real Estate Agent Joe Henry. Also Circle of Peacemakers, Iowa Physicians for Social Responsibility, Bold Iowa, Birds and Bees Urban Farm, and Climate March. This is Ed Fallon, the host of the Fallon Forum. We'll be back next week with another hour of cutting-edge talk radio.
Look into your